This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are live. I know it's been a couple of weeks. We've been off, and I did my annual pilgrimage to the best beaches on the planet, the Outer Banks. If you like the beach, that's the way. It's the place to go, I'm telling you. No stinky seaweed. Just a great place to go. And the weekend after that, I was at a wedding for my sister-in-law. And then last week, I was at a geek convention in Denver. So it's the first time in like 26 years I've ever had three Saturdays that were impacted where I couldn't do the show live. So, Bob enjoyed the time off too, right, Bob?
Yeah, I had training and this and that. I've been away for so long, Eric's going to have to retrain me today.
So we're going to be here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And there are plenty of concerns out there when it comes to computers. Security really is the biggest issue these days with computers. And how many things occurred over the time we were gone? I mean, the whole Capital One breach and all that fun stuff occurred. You know, what's in your cloud? You know, it's getting crazy out there. And that's computers, I guess. And clearly, they work on how to connect them rather than secure them first.
Well, first they want to make it work.
Yeah.
Ease of use and security are diametrically opposed.
Definitely true. So I'll bring up a really quick article here. Microsoft confirms update warning for Windows 10, Windows 8.1, and Windows 7 users. So you're going to get some nice black screens of death when you upgrade your Microsoft. And they're well aware of it, and they're doing everything they can to fix it. People are wondering why they didn't test it a little bit before they released the update, but that's just Windows for you.
Beta testing?
Yeah, come on.
That's a thing of the past.
So, yeah. The versions that are impacted beyond the ones I just gave you, Server 2008, which you should not be using anymore, Server 2012, Server 2016, which is nice and brand new, all these versions of Windows 10, all the flavors of Windows 10. Now, you know, Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, has decided to call everything Windows 10. But if you have Windows 10 version 1703, Windows 10 version 1709, Windows 10 version 1803, Windows 10 version 1809, give me a break. It was like Windows 98, all the different flavors of 98, right? There's like three or four flavors of 98 and three or four flavors of 95. This Windows 10 thing, they wanted one version to rule them all.
Well, it's like Mac, once they got up to 10, they started naming them after cats.
Right. You're going to run out of cats. But now you have all these ridiculous versions, 1703, 1709. Yeah, that's going to work. Right.
All right. Yeah. So if you want to know how to know what version you have, you can't right-click and choose properties. It won't tell you.
Right. What do you got to do, Bob?
You got to type in the little search thing, type in WinVer, W-I-N-V-E-R, and it'll come up and it'll tell you which version you're on.
Just when you thought it was just Windows 10. It's not quite. So there's a big update that you're going to have issues with where you're going to end up with, you know, a nice black screen or what have you. They say it only impacts a small number of users, quote unquote. But, you know, Microsoft still has a very large install base. So whatever percentage are impacted, you're going to see this out there. So beware. The latest updates cause you trouble. We have had articles that we put up on computertalkwithtab.com that'll show you how to delay major updates. So it's probably three or four shows back. There's probably a link up there, and you can just tell your system to delay it as long as it can, so you're not the ding-a-ling who gets the early updates from these guys and girls at Microsoft. You know, I delay mine as long as I possibly can. What else you got there, Bob? What do you got for news?
Okay. The first one up, scientists want to mass produce seaweed.
Okay.
That stops cows burping methane.
Hmm.
Finding
from
a way
both ends, obviously.
Well, no, because cows have two stomachs.
Okay.
So when they do stuff in it, you know, and they're chewing it and digesting it and what have you, they produce a gas,
right,
which is methane.
Yep, yep.
So then this methane gets emitted into the atmosphere.
Right.
Because there's so many cows in the world.
There are.
Making us milk.
And milk and meat.
Yeah, and well, yeah, that too.
That's the primary reason I like them.
Anyway, they burp up methane, okay, and that's a greenhouse gas.
Yes, sure it is.
So they're finding a way to farm seaweed on a global scale that could dramatically lessen greenhouse gas emissions worldwide.
All right.
In 2014, Australia's National Science Agency, CSIRO, discovered that by adding pink seaweed, asparagopsis, easy for me to say, to a cow's diet, it reduces the amount of gas produced by the cow up to 99%.
Wow, gas X for cows.
Hey, there you go. Now scientists want to farm asparagopsis on a large scale to reduce Australia's greenhouse gas emission and the world's.
Nice. Maybe they can give it to us, too.
So the University of the Sunshine Coast, USC.
Mm-hmm.
Not being confused with University of Southern California.
No, no.
Associate Professor Nicholas Paul said if enough pink seaweed was grown, it could help reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Australia by an impressive 10%, according to ABC News on Wednesday.
Interesting. I wonder what the ramifications are of filling the ocean with green seaweed. I'm sure there's nothing
pink
wrong with
seaweed.
That. Pink seaweed. I wonder if there's any issues with that.
Well, no, they're going to harvest it. They're going to grow it in a
they're going to take a boat, and the boat probably runs on, you know, bunker fuel. It's going to go out there and harvest the the green seaweed.
Well, what else besides, you know, what else would eat pink seaweed?
I don't know.
I mean, what would feed on it? You know,
I'm sure something does. You might end up, you know, along with your pink seaweed, some sort of.
So they're
sea
working
creature.
On some way to be able to, the best way to increase pink seaweed supply is to find the fastest way to grow it outside of a lab.
All right.
So right now they're just growing it in a lab.
Wait a minute. It's not a naturally occurring seaweed?
Probably, but probably not in mass quantities.
Yeah. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Well, if it works, that's great. But now, I guess nowadays, there's going to be fake meat out there. I mean, there's this organic.
We already got fake meat.
It's like,
it's called tofu.
It's true. In other news, if you guys are Microsoft Surface users, and I don't know why you are, because, I mean, if the company has hard enough time producing an operating system, why would you pick up their hardware? They are having issues with the latest recent Surface Pro 6, where the system will throttle it back to from running at a 1.9 gigahertz speed down to a half a gigahertz. Now, that's not good news. It's like taking your car, you're driving 60 miles an hour on the highway, and it says, well, we're going to go 25. Good luck. And it throttles your car. Well, this is the same thing here with your computer. It's going to throttle it to a lower performance because what's happening? You're heating up the system. And it doesn't like to be heated up. And in many cases, the machines are becoming useless when this happens. You can't do anything with your computer, which is, of course, what you wanted to, when you bought it, you decided you want to do something with it. Now, of course, this show has been around for 26 years of people having trouble doing things with their computers, so we understand. But this is the Surface 6. This is the latest one. They're got a throttling problem. It happens with other ones as well.
Well, you know what happens when a computer overheats?
What?
It shuts down.
That's true. But to knock it back this far is a bit of an extreme. We'll put a link up here for you guys for these articles. If you've got a Surface 6 and you're experiencing issues, there's other Surfaces that have the same exact problem. And it's becoming a big problem, I guess, for folks. But running at 400 megahertz is... That's like calculator speeds, you know.
That's like throttling your car back to a Model T.
Yeah, not so good, not so good. So it's saving itself. It's saving itself from itself, from being used. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I got another one here. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Judge bars Georgia from using current voting technology in 2020.
Mm.
The state is in the midst of getting new voting machines and other tech.
Yeah.
A court requires Georgia to have new election technology in place for the elections in 2020.
Okay.
The state of Georgia can't use its current electronic voting machines, election management software, or servers after 2019, according to an order from a federal judge.
All right.
Thursday, its latest decision in long-running legal fight over the security of voting tech in the state, effectively requires Georgia to get a new system in place for the 2020 presidential primaries.
Like Hartford can't even get that stuff ready for on a regular basis. How is the whole state of Georgia going to get stuff ready?
Well, other states are more efficient, I think.
Okay.
So the order, written by District Judge Amy Totenberg, requires Georgia to come up with a plan that allow the state to avoid using its current technology, which includes electronic voting machines with no paper records of ballots.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
Well, one thing that won't happen is somebody won't come up with a trunk load of ballots in the trunk in their car.
That's true. That does happen here in Connecticut as well. Oh, we found these extra ballots back here.
Yeah, I got three happened. Extra boxes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, anyway, it was in a closet. Anyway, Georgia is one of the last states to solely rely on such machines, and voting rights advocates around the country are pushing to end their use. Voting machine manufacturer ESNS is also phasing out paperless machines. I don't know why, because they're getting outlawed. Anyway, the state of Georgia is in the process of getting new electronic voting machines and vote tallying software.
Yeah.
Totenberg's order means the state can't fall back on the old election management software and paperless machines and election management software referred to as the GEMS/DRE system.
Mm.
If the new tech isn't ready in time, that could mean using paper hand-marked ballots and foregoing voting machines altogether.
And dip your finger in some ink to make sure they know you voted.
Let's count them by hand, boys.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the 1950s.
Yeah.
Continued use of the GEMS/DRE system passed this 2019 of elections is indefensible given the operational and constitutional issues at stake, Totenberg, that was the judge, wrote.
Yeah.
So then there's more to it, and it's kind of interesting. And there's other links to other...
It can't be electronic, purely electronic. You need a receipt.
You need, yeah. Well, the other thing is the only problem that I have, even with the paper, is but what's to stop you from coming up with the boxes full of paper ballots that...
Yeah, I know. That just magically
appear. Because they
appear.
Don't have anybody's name on it. No way of tracing them. So
that's an issue.
I'm dubious, especially in maybe Bridgeport.
Yeah. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are here live. I know. But we just, life got in our way. But we are here. We are here live to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And on that trip, the geek trip that I took out to Denver, we don't fly much. And I don't have time. I just don't. And but they have this app on United. And it was a pretty neat little app. But one of the things about flying, I don't know about you guys, but I always wonder if my bags are going to make it to the destination. And we had a stop in Chicago. And I just figured I was one of us, my wife and I were gonna one of us's bags I'm gonna be missing. I don't know. I just didn't have any faith. I don't know why. Maybe it's the media. But I didn't. But the app has a way for you to quote unquote track your bags. So I'm like, oh wow, cool technology. Let's see what happens here when they track our bags. So you put your bags in, and it's in the system somehow, and you've checked them, and you're sitting there in the terminal, and I'm expecting to see on my tracked bag, oh, checked in, and now sitting on tarmac. Oh, checked in, now in plane. Checked in, now it's back at the O'Hare Airport. Oh, ooh, checked in, now we're heading off to Denver. So, no, it didn't say that ever. I want to know what it said, Bob.
Tell me.
En route.
En route.
Check your bags. It's en route. I'm en route. That's not very helpful. But I don't know. Eventually, I guess they'll probably have the RFID check in and tell you where it is. You know, it'd be nice to know the bag's on the carousel, wouldn't it?
Or are actually on your plane.
Right. Well, that's the part you're wondering. You know, did the bag make it? I don't know.
Sometimes, you know, they put them on a different plane.
I know. So wouldn't it be nice if it said, hey, heading to Hawaii? I'd like to know that. All right. Let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. I'm going to go to Marty in South Windsor first. Hey, Marty, what's up?
Hey, my mom is in a senior living complex,
All right. And
they get free Wi-Fi for being in that complex.
Yeah.
You know, my question really is, what's the best way to protect my mom's computer from others that are on the network that are peering into her computer?
Mm-hmm.
And also when she surfs the web. I know you said security. is really important.
And, these days, yeah.
This is, you know, an open Wi-Fi for just the people in the complex, but still, I want to make sure that her computer's safe and
yep.
everything's all set there. And a couple of shows ago, you mentioned about the VPN.
Yeah.
And I want to know about that. She has Windows 7, and of course, she's going to be changing over to Windows 10
mm-hmm.
Before the end of the year. But what are the proper settings that I need to have in Windows 7, and then, of course, then in Windows 10,
mm-hmm.
to really make her as secure as possible?
Okay.
First, make sure the firewall is enabled and that it's set for wireless, that it's set to public, because that's the highest level of protection that your firewall, Windows firewall, is going to give you, because it lowers the level of protection depending on, you have three categories to pick from. So you want to make sure that it's not home or whatever.
Or
you want to set it, or work, you want to set it to public.
Yeah, okay. That's number one.
That's number one. Good antivirus is number two.
Yeah.
OpenDNS is number three.
Right. So set the OpenDNS IPs on the laptop to use OpenDNS.
Gotcha, yeah.
And then run ProtonVPN is a VPN that we've recommended. So if she wants to surf more securely, she has to go to financial sites because, you know, for whatever reason, if she's doing it through a VPN, it'll be safer.
Yeah, now you did mention, this was real interesting, you did mention there are certain VPNs that are, the servers are located in China or Russia or things of that nature.
Or the companies. Or the companies are owned by those companies.
Yeah, yeah. Now, is Proton one of those? Or?
No, so Proton is owned, from what I understand, owned by a Swiss company. So, I don't know. You know the Swiss and their bank accounts. It's just my opinion that that seems maybe to be a little safer. However, they're going to be, that you can choose European servers, or you can choose United States servers to utilize that VPN. You're going to pop up somewhere, right? When you poke your hole through your VPN in order to surf, you're kind of poking out, you know, pick a state, wherever the server is located.
Yeah.
That server could and does kind of know where you're going. And I just read recently Kaspersky news, the Russian antivirus software, was putting a unique identifier on your website. So the website could track you specifically by an identifier thanks to Kaspersky. Wonder why they'd have that in there, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, so the security tool people were trying to use was then tagging them, even when you're in if I could say this right, in incognito mode, they were still tagging your specific ID so that the websites could track you. So those are the things we talk about, VPNs, OpenDNS, antivirus. We recommend Webroot as a good antivirus tool. But the key is to be using a VPN if you want to be more private when you're surfing in a public network like she is.
Yeah, and the VPN strictly is for the surfing aspect, because
right.
that VPN does not protect you from others peering in. It's what you said earlier, the
right.
setting it to public wires. And is it shutting off the public folders and things like that, or
right? It'll be like Bob's saying, it's not gonna be allowing your machine to be set up for public sharing or resource sharing or even being viewable.
Basically, it makes it invisible on the network because you can't ping it, you
right.
can't see it. So you know, if you go and you go and choose your network over in the left side, you'll see other computers on the network.
Right.
But if you have your firewall set to public, you won't see her. It'll be like invisible to the rest of the network.
Right, so that should help her a bit.
Okay, so okay. And to get to the firewall and set it in public, what are the steps, real quick?
Well, we'll have to post for that one.
Yeah, it's okay. A couple of steps okay. through Windows 7, and we'll post it for Windows 7 and Windows 10.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, Marty.
Hey, great show. Enjoy listening to you guys.
All right, thank you for being there.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye. Bye-bye. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We are live on this cloudy Saturday morning, so feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We got Sherry, Nick, and Maria, and Mara on the line. One line open for you. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Well, sorry, all the lines are all jammed up. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Sherry, who's been on the longest. Morning, Sherry.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I love the program.
Thanks.
I just have a few questions.
All right.
Quickly. I have an old laptop. It's a Dell Latitude. It's like 6 years old.
Okay.
And we're looking to replace it.
Yep.
It's running Windows 7 now. So.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, we were looking for something reasonable, and what would you recommend?
Well, that's a little reasonable, is all relative. But the machines I get for my kids for going to college mm-hmm. are the Envy line of HPs.
The Envy line?
Okay. Yeah. And I would recommend sticking with the metal case. Stay away from the plastic.
Okay.
We've seen that not go well okay. with other kids.
Okay.
So stick with the metal case. And then it comes down to your budget and the specs, right? So, you know, an i5 probably is fine for you, i5 processor. There'll probably be an 8th gen, which is going to be nice and fast.
Mm-hmm.
8 gigs of RAM would be the basic. If you want to spend more money on more, you could.
Mm-hmm.
And then a 256 or a 128 solid-state drive.
A 256 or a 128 solid-state?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's, if you can't afford that, because if it brings the price up too high, then go to a they'll have a standard, probably terabyte drive in there.
Okay.
It'll boot slower, but it works well.
Okay.
But that's where you would kind of give up some performance for
and
price.
And does that have a USB?
Oh, goodness, yeah. They'll have plenty of USB ports and stuff, yeah.
Okay, because right now, anything's going to be better. Right now, we have a 2 gigabyte, 2.50 gigahertz.
Okay, 2 gigahertz system, okay. But gigahertz is relative, again, based on the processor and what you have there. So gigahertz doesn't mean a whole lot until we apply it to the processor.
Okay, and that processor is an Intel Core, it says...
Core 2?
3120M.
Oh, a 3120M flavor. You have 6 years old. We could look it up, but yes, compared
to everything's going to be better, right?
compared to a 6 year old system by default. But be careful; that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have found people buying laptops that are still based on the Pentium processor, which should be outlawed.
Wow.
Celeron processors would also should be outlawed.
Oh my gosh.
i3s, which shouldn't be there either. So those processors don't have a lot of ability. But they can be utilized in certain instances where you want to apply them to things. But I wouldn't give my kid a Pentium, a Celeron, or an i3 to do their homework.
Okay.
And then to do something really, you know, just average, an i5 is the way to go. And if you've got a little more budget, you could look at an i7.
Or an i7. Okay.
Yeah.
When you're talking budget, what range are we talking about here?
Anywhere from $850 to $900.
Oh, yeah, that's reasonable. Okay.
Yeah, and it'll give you a good, you know, 6 years. I've got my oldest who's graduated and working for a large insurance company now. He's still using the same laptop we got him 5 years ago. My middle, you know, he's still got 4 years to go in his program, okay. And he's doing fine with his laptop, and my youngest is going to head off to UConn as well, and that's the same thing we got him. He
okay.
better not break
eighth
it.
Eighth generation.
Eighth gen, yeah.
Okay. Now, one last thing. This laptop that we have was so slow and so slow, so we put it in safe mode. And
uh-huh.
it's faster.
Right.
Is there anything negative about just running it in safe mode?
Well, safe mode turns off all the stuff that...
makes it work.
Makes it work.
Yeah,
oh,
it'll turn off your internet. It'll turn off your network.
Downgrades you to a basic video driver.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
if it works for you, we're not going to argue with you, but...
I'm getting internet service on it.
Oh, so you must be safe mode with
safe
internet
mode
network
with
support.
With network, yeah.
Yeah. And it's for what we need it for right now, it seems okay. But I could easily just get out of the safe mode.
Right. The moment you bring it into the full mode, you probably have a bunch of stuff running in the background. You could have malware on there that's slowing you down.
Okay.
All sorts of things could be impacting it.
Yeah, we need a new computer. Okay,
yeah.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to go. And you like HP over Dell?
We do.
Okay.
I do. It's just a preference. We're Dell partners. A tab, so that's what we've kind of defaulted to, and it's worked out well.
Okay, HP.
Dell yeah. partners or HP partners?
HP partners.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's move on to Nick in Waterbury. I also don't get anything for saying that. Nick in Waterbury. Hey, Nick.
How you doing? Good morning.
Morning.
I was calling about an update on a call I made about a month or two ago about my Windows Office just quitting.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember the call.
Probably not.
Just stopped working, and they said I don't have Windows anymore, and everything was gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Your suggestion was to call Microsoft. That was the only thing to do.
Oh, to get it relicensed, right?
Yeah, Windows, yes.
Okay.
I did. And I called them back, and I said I had the 25-word code or letter code.
Yeah.
And she looked it up, and she had my name and everything. And she said, yes, it should be working. She took over my computer, and she says, yes, I see it's not working. And after about 10 minutes, she says, look at your computer on the Internet. You'll see a 6-digit code. Put that in, and it should work. And it did.
Nice.
So I got my office back, and all my folders were opened up and able to use my Windows Word and Excel.
So our advice worked, and Microsoft helped you.
They did. She was very nice and very professional. She was excellent. I took a deep breath before I called, and I said, this isn't going to work, and it did.
So
a lot of people know out there it does work if you do talk to them. And
if you're legitimate, right. If you have a legitimate license and you call Microsoft, never answer the phone if they say they're from Microsoft. Never answer the phone. But to call them generally, and if you've got a legitimate copy of software, Microsoft is always screwing things up. So they turned off your code, and now they turned it back on. Wasn't that nice of them?
Yes, it would. She didn't understand why it didn't work, and she was saying after all these years, she was surprised I still had the code, and that's the same thing you said. And I did, and it worked, so it saved me a lot of money.
That's the thing that's kind of insidious about it. Now, is it? Why would your code just randomly expire? And then she sounds surprised that you wouldn't have the ability, we wouldn't have that code hanging around so you could get it turned back on. You know, there's a little bit of a going on there. So did they turn it off because they want Nick to buy a new version of Office? Or did it just innocently turn off all by itself, Nick? I don't know.
I don't know. But one other quick question about script. When the computer, you're on the computer, you're looking up something and it says it stopped working because of a script problem.
Yeah, on an internet page?
Yeah, I stop it and then the computer shuts down and it has to all boot up again for just the internet.
Yikes.
I don't understand why it's doing that. It only does it on a large, something with commercials or advertisement. If you're going through banking or something, it doesn't have an advertisement, it never does it. It works perfectly.
I think it's an age of your browser. Have you updated your browsers lately?
Probably not, no.
Try updating those things. There's a script that the website wants to run on your browser that your operating system and your browser is choking on to the point of rebooting. That's a pretty serious problem. So I would update both your operating system before you can't anymore, and update your browser because you're running Windows 7 still, right, Nick?
Yes.
Okay. You know, in January, that's going to no longer update, right?
I hear. Yes.
Yeah.
It's coming to that time, but I'm still going to use it right up to when I can.
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Our pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. We'll get back to Maria, Lori, and Bill. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. Back. You know, you got to bring a little Ferris Bueller into your life every day. This song just connects right with Ferris, right? This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11. And one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We've been off for a few weeks, but we are live here in person. A little less pasty white.
Speak for yourself.
Let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Maria in Rocky Hill next. Hey, Maria, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Before I go to the question I wanted to ask you, I worked for the airlines many years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, we don't lose bags. We just delay them for a few hours.
That's what it is. So, Maria, were you part of loading planes? The other question I had, again, I don't fly much. Why do they load the planes from front to back?
From front to back?
Yeah, people get on the plane, they put the first class in, and they start loading the rows from rows 1 all the way back to rows 40 or 50, whatever the plane is. Why do they do it that way and not back to front? Why? I mean, I wouldn't load a U-Haul from
front. No, we never used to do that. But when I was a flight attendant, I've worked many positions with the airlines, and I worked as a flight attendant.
Yeah.
We always loaded from the back to the front.
Yeah. I found myself walking past line after line of person sitting in their chair already.
Yeah.
I was in group 4.
That's very awkward, and it's silly because then you. No, I don't know why they've done that.
Yeah, it was United. Everyone's trying to put their stuff in the bins above me, and we're all standing there. We're like, why wouldn't you just stick those – the guys, and I was in the back, right? I had the cheap seats because I was flying for free. So they stuck me way in the back. I'm like, all right. It doesn't make any sense to me. But so you just delayed the bags, Maria.
Yes, we never lose them.
No. That's cool. That's fair. I figured this app was going to tell me something more than en route.
I have had my bags lost, though. I'm born and raised from England. I'm an American citizen. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I went to England at one time, and they did delay my bags, but they delivered them right to my house, so I was happy.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
My mother was very pleased.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. So what do you got going on, Maria?
Well, you know, I have an HP.
Yeah.
I have a laptop. Mm-hmm. I have Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed lately, I'm not sure this is where I come in. I'm a bit of a novice. But my speed, there are days that it slows down to almost a stop. I have Frontier
mm-hmm.
as my
internet provider,
as my internet service,
and
I'm wondering: am I dreaming this, or is this real? Could this really happen?
Oh, it's real. It's very real.
It is.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of reasons your machine could be slow like that. One of the most common ones is Microsoft is doing an update in the background, so they're fixing your machine, making it better for you, Maria. But you can't use it that well because they're updating
now,
it.
I work it for my job. I still work in the airline, in the travel industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, I work on the computer. I'm in sales now, but I work on the computer, you know, doing all kinds of work.
You know,
reports, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. It doesn't happen there?
So this is common, then, you're saying?
Oh, sadly, yes. So you can tell Windows when to update. Now, a lot of times it ignores your request, but you can configure your Windows to not bother you during certain hours. But sometimes Microsoft says, I don't care what you want us to do. We're going to do it now because we're going to do it now. But a lot of times it's simply the download occurring from Microsoft in the background to update the machine that's slowing you down. It could also be malware, right, Bob? You could have some sort of bad, malicious application in the background slowing you down. So you need to make sure your antivirus and you're running is up to date and you're running OpenDNS to keep you more safe on the internet in the first place.
And it could be. Do you have?
I have as an antivirus. I have Norton.
All right. When that expires, I would tell you to move over to Webroot.
Yeah, Norton could definitely be slowing you down.
Mm-hmm.
It uses a lot of system resources.
Especially if you set it to scan.
Webroot, did you say?
Yeah, Webroot.
Write that down.
Yep.
Oh, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know there's something going on that...
Yeah, it could be a scan. Norton could be protecting you and scanning your system right in the middle of your usage time. So you could, again, set the scan for your antivirus to occur a different time, you know, 2 in the morning. Yeah, leave your computer on. But that way it'll scan when you're not using it. But Webroot doesn't need to do that. So it doesn't impact the performance of your machine.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure.
Webroot, right. Well, good. I will. Thank you. That'll be my work for starting Monday morning.
Nice.
Before I do my... start working back at my job again.
Right.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome, Maria.
And have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you. You too. All right, bye-bye. All right. So she's going to do some upgrading, a little changing. Let's go on to Lori in Deep River. What's going on, Lori?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Calling about an old iPad Mini. It's version 1, so it's been around the house for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And up until this week, it absolutely fine connecting to the house Wi-Fi. Like all the other devices. This week, it's decided that it does not want to connect to the Wi-Fi. The password is wrong. We've reset it, hard reset it, reset the under general, did the reset of, if I can get it back open, reset the network settings so that it would, you know, have to recognize the password again. It's still not connecting. It says the password is invalid. We wanted to do a complete wipe, get it back to factory setting. And it also doesn't recognize the Apple password.
Wow.
So...
Doesn't sound good.
No. No.
I'm trying to figure out here where this could happen. There is tons of information out here about why your iPad may not connect.
Yeah. I mean, an iPod is connecting. Another iPod. You know, we've got Wi-Fi for the house. Things are finding the router, connecting to them without a problem.
It's so the iPad.
Yeah, it's the iPad.
Yeah.
It's not the system.
And you haven't... Well, have you changed the system? Is it newer?
No. It goes up to 9.37, I believe it is, and that's as high as it'll go.
I should have been more specific. Did you change the Wi-Fi in your house?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Nope.
So, let me ask you a question. I think you answered this earlier, but did you... you said you were resetting the settings in your Wi-Fi. Did you forget the network and, like, rediscover it? Okay, so when you forget it, you eliminate it out of your system and start from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay, we've tried that, and it still says password invalid.
All right. The only thing I'm thinking it's on your Wi-Fi, do you have a 5 gigahertz and a 2.5 gigahertz radios? I'm wondering if you're...
It's a Frontier router.
Okay.
They may have done an update.
It came with. But it runs the house. Yeah, it's just a typical Frontier.
So you get one more test then. We're starting to think it's Frontier.
But everything else works.
I know. I know. Go to a public Wi-Fi, like bring your iPad to McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah,
try to connect.
Try it there.
Yeah, just see if it connects. If it connects, it is Frontier did an update on you that changed your security to the point where the iPad's OS doesn't know what to do.
It doesn't have the new standard.
Right. Can't pass the connection now anymore. That's probably what happened. We're just guessing.
Yeah.
Or the iPad finally has failed and the wireless adapter is not working.
Yeah, but everything else on it is playing nice.
I know. But that stuff breaks. Stuff breaks. Yeah. But if you want to prove it out, just bring it to a public Wi-Fi. See if you can log in. If you can, it's Frontier now. It is the Wi-Fi device in your home that could have impacted this old iPad. How old did you say it was?
It's a first generation.
So that could be like 8 or 9 years old.
Right. Could have WEP.
Yeah.
It could be. It could be just a security enhancement that Frontier passed on that your device can't handle.
Ah.
Unfortunately, and you nothing you can do about it. It's you know.
Well, there's one thing you could do.
Oh, Bob's got an idea.
Okay. Well, you could bypass the Frontier wireless and do your own.
That's true.
But that's going to cost you a little more money and some work.
Right, you need your own router. And even there, though, a lot of these newer routers, that's why I was curious.
It may not have it. Yeah, it may not support the older standard. That's
right.
True.
Because you'd have to dumb down your wireless security to meet this 10-year-old iPad's abilities.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So if it doesn't work in McDonald's or what have you, they could have increased their security, but I highly doubt it. If it does work, it's you.
Okay. All righty.
That's our guess.
Yeah. I was hoping that wasn't the problem, but okay.
We'll put a link up here as to how to reset your settings, but you seem to know how to do all that.
Yeah, we've gone through reset multiple different, but it's also not recognizing the iTunes password.
Well, it can't recognize that because it can't get to the internet.
Oh, okay.
You got to get on the internet first.
Aha, okay.
All right.
For even to do a hard reset of the, you know, complete wipe.
Yeah, well, in order to do a connect, in order to make a connection to the iTunes from that device, it has to be on the network, the Wi-Fi network,
and that's
step one.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, we'll start from there.
All right, Lori.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I got to catch up on a lot of yard work.
It's two of us.
So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted over to Facebook, over at Tab Computer Systems. If you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy and your face is not recognized, they're having issues with that, it might get into your news feed. We'll be right back.